listening to Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. I'm Stephen Henderson, and as always, thanks for tuning in. It is late August, and that means it is travel season for so many people right now. And of course, that means packing up the car and hitting the road for many people here in Michigan. It means kids yelling, "Are we there yet?" and pit stops in places maybe you've never seen before. It also means exploring different people and places here in Michigan, a really wonderful state with lots of variety and diversity, not just among its people, but of course among the places and the environs that you can find. During the summer months, people are exploring our beaches and biking and taking long walks along Michigan's Great Lakes. But Michigan, as one license plate notes, is a water winter wonderland, and that means people travel all over during the cold months, too, whether to ski or snowboard or snowshoe or just sit somewhere in a hot tub outside. People cross this state during the winter to dive into new experiences. Whether it's summer or winter, there are two Michiganders who have maybe done more state travel than anyone else I know. Tom Dalton and Jim Edelman run Under the Radar Michigan, a PBS program that highlights all the fun and quirky sides that Michigan has to offer. The two of them have just published a new book, their third book, Under the Radar Michigan, the third 50. Why stop now? It explores various Michigan cities and shops and restaurants that you may consider quite fondly, or maybe that you never heard of. I am really excited that Tom and Jim are here with us now to talk about the travel season, what they find fun and interesting about Michigan, and why they cannot stop searching for new people and places that make this state so interesting. Tom and Jim, welcome back to Detroit Today.
That may be the most wonderful introduction we have ever gotten.
Can you tell I'm a fan?
Oh, my God. Yeah, Steven. That was so wonderful. I feel like getting in our car right now and just going somewhere.
What else is there to say? Thanks for having us.
That's right. Yes, end of the show, right?
And speaking of, are we there yet? Jim usually does the driving, and that's me. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? But, no, our motto actually is it's never too far if you're having fun in the car.
Oh, that's cool. That's a great motto.
And since we just came back from the Keweenaw on Sunday, that was a long drive.
Yes, that is.
9+ hours.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Actually, it's been
two of you in a car for 9+ hours.
And we're not listening to music. We're talking the whole way.
Is that right? I noticed
it is so weird.
You always say that, but this last trip, it was a 10-hour drive, and I don't think we shut up 1 minute. We're talking and talking and talking and talking. But Jim and I have been friends for, as you know, we came up in radio. We met each other at another radio station. And we came out of radio and we've known each other for years. So we are two men, one brain.
Yeah. I can't think of one of you without the other.
Oh. Our wives are super happy to hear
that.
I don't think I've ever seen one of you just like the other.
All right. So before we talk about this wonderful new book, I have a little housekeeping that I want to suggest to you guys. So your whole thing is Under the Radar, but this is your third book, and now you guys are like celebrities and you're a big deal. There's nothing under the radar about you anymore.
Actually the title, the reason we call it Under the Radar is because
the places, right?
Yeah, well, a lot of these things that we feature are under, like, we feature things that are 30 minutes from my house that I had, that were under my radar. I had no idea.
Yeah.
And you're right. After being on the air on Detroit Public Television for 12 years now.
Is it 12 years?
Yeah, it's 12. Wow. I know.
And we're wrapping up the 12th season.
We just wanted to do this long enough until we got real jobs again. but it's, in spite of us, it keeps going and going. But what was I saying?
That it's not really under the radar. It is for us. It is.
I was just saying, we got to come up with a new name.
Yeah.
For
it's under the radar.
Over the clouds.
Things you don't know.
Bigger than ever imagined.
Well, it's funny, people see me on the street. Hey, you're that Michigan off the map guy. Or, hey, you're Michigan down under. It's like, no.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we are all those things.
It's a different geographic.
Yeah, but even though a friend of mine said when we started doing the show first season, he said, "You're doing a show just about Michigan? Dude, what are you going to do after one season? You're going to run out of stuff." We are two huge peninsulas with 10 million people. Young people are doing new, creative, interesting things all the time. Our biggest challenge when we go into a place is narrowing it down to like two or three things. So even though we've been on the air for 12 years, we have three books, we've been to 1,000 places, there are still things out there that are under people's radar that we're trying to uncover and discover.
Yeah. So, we could just focus on Southeast Michigan and produce shows for as long as we want to do. I mean, there's so much happening here. What we saw in the change in Detroit, you know, we talk about this every time. The restaurant scene blew up like none of us who were longtime residents expected.
That's a good point. When we started doing the show, there were a handful of restaurants that we thought we could feature in Detroit. Now, Detroit is a foodie's paradise.
I was going to say, you can spend weeks and weeks just going to
And my daughter
places.
Lives in the city, and she's like our taste buds on the ground. She's always telling us, you've got to go. That's how we found Flowers of Vietnam. That's how we found Pizza Plex. Saffron d'Etoile, right. We found. Yeah,
and so. As much as all those new places are great and they capture our attention, there's still, you can't ignore the places that have been slogging it out for 20, 30 years. Yeah. And I think that's really where
Dakota Inn, Rathskeller, places.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
That.
We get into some really interesting debates about what to pick and how to pick it. And, sure. You know, because you also get some calls from people saying, I really need you now.
Yeah.
And you're like, but we're not, we don't have a Detroit show scheduled, or we don't have a Saginaw show scheduled, even though we do have a Saginaw show scheduled for this Thursday. Brand new show Thursday, 8:30 p.m.
Yeah, some of the biggest feedback we ever got was we did a pizza show, and we thought, well, there are so many incredible pizza places. We'll just feature on the five different kinds of pizza, you know, thin crust, deep dish, classic American. So we did the five different kinds, but boy, we got emails. Why didn't
say,
you feel people are passionate about
step
pizza.
Into the middle of that argument?
Yeah, but you got to start somewhere, and you know, then you can look back. Hopefully, you know, after our 50th pizza show,
what?
Yeah, I'm committing right now another 13 years
more pizza.
But I mean, that's the whole thing. I mean, we look back on these three books, and they are kind of like yearbooks to me. I look at them and say, okay, remember, you know, we did this there.
Yeah,
that
was
the behind the scenes stuff.
Yeah, I'm so excited about the new book because it's 85,000 words I typed. Well, I keyboarded with two fingers.
What?
Yeah, this is
Are
me.
You a hunting and
this
pecker?
Is me. This is me. Where's the L? Oh, there it is.
What'd you call him?
No, where's the L? No,
I'm talking to you.
No,
but that's a newspaper.
Yeah, it took me forever. And I was a journalism major. I love to write. It's just painful for me. So, but there are so many incredible things in this new. So many one tank trips, which are a little more expensive than they used to be. But so many great little restaurants and places to go.
So I also think it's really cool that this book is coming out now. Just as, and we keep saying this over and over, and then we get knocked back, but just as we're really coming out of the COVID cocoon or whatever you want to call it, where we really couldn't go to as many places or interact with as many people as I know you guys love to.
And
it's just like perfect that we now have 50 more places to
50
think
more
about.
Shows.
50
there's
more
about,
shows.
About 100,
yeah, probably 200, 200 plus.
Five segments
places.
Per show.
Yeah. Yeah,
I'm no mathematician, but that's like 250-ish.
Yeah, 250 different ballpark. People, places. Yeah, great places too. And we try to mix it up. It's like we'll go the show. Same thing with the show. We'll go from a cool, funky skateboard shop for kids, and the very next segment is a great place to take your wife on your 30th wedding anniversary. And then there's a great hike you can go on. Then there's somebody doing something special for children. So yeah, we try to mix it up. Make it interesting.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk about the book and what's in it. What's different about the third 50?
Well, there's even more pictures because I'm running out of words. But there's just, like you said, quirky, out-of-the-way, fun, funny places. In the book, there's a place called the Beatles and Beans Coffee Emporium in Bay City. Walking into this little coffee shop is like walking into the brain of the world's biggest Beatles fan.
Huh.
It's overwhelming when you walk in there. The couple that own it, sweetest people. They drink a lot of coffee, so get ready. They talk fast. But, you won't believe. I've been in there four times now, I believe, and I still haven't seen all the Beatles' rare, interesting memorabilia.
Yeah, so. It's on the ceiling. It's on the floor. It's
everywhere. Literally like you're inside the brain of a Beatles fan.
My goodness.
Amazing.
And it's a coffee shop.
It's a
little coffee shop. Yeah, in Bay City.
Wow.
So.
Wow.
Yeah, I think one of the things that I like about the fact that, you know, the book exists is you can kind of treat it like you just flip to a page and say, okay, we're going to go here. If here is, you know, somewhere up in Copper Harbor, okay, maybe we don't have the time to go there. But we just finished up a Downriver Detroit show, and Detroit Salsa Company. You know, that's the kind of thing. These kids weren't even born when the show started. Mm-hmm. They started this as a seventh grade school project.
Yeah, exactly. And now it's 2 19-year-olds, and their salsa is amazing. It's being sold.
Oh, they're 19?
Yeah,
okay, we've not been on that long then. I take my comparison back.
But places like Stahl's Automotive Museum, or actually it's Stahl's Automotive Foundation over in Clinton Township. If you've never been there, call first because they're only open five days a month. But it's free, and it's called Stahl's Automotive Foundation. In one giant warehouse, you'll see the most amazing collection of vintage cars, gas pumps, neon signs, and music machines from around the world. So it's
in the middle of an industrial park, you know. So it's like
you wouldn't
know.
You
wouldn't
find
it. No, and we had to get hounded by fans who were just like, "You got to go to this place." And when we finally went, we're like, "How do you even find out about some of these things that are so, no pun intended, under the radar?"
Yeah.
How about the Keweenaw Peninsula? The monks that make the jam and jelly. There's some Byzantine monks up there, have a little roach sign house, and their parking space is "Thou shall not park here." But they're making jams and jelly. So yeah, just quirky, fun places to go.
I'm talking with Tom Dalton and Jim Edelman. They are the producer and the host and writer of the PBS television program Under the Radar Michigan. Tom is also the author of Under the Radar Michigan, The Third 50, Why Stop Now? Of course, Jim had a hand in the book as well. We're talking about all the great places that there are to visit here in Michigan and places that maybe you don't know about. All of us have favorite places that we go here in Michigan, but what about the places that somebody else knows about that they could tell you about that you would end up having a really great time at? These guys have dedicated 12 seasons of television now to unearthing those places and featuring them. We want to hear from you during this conversation as well, of course. Call and tell us what your favorite places are here in Michigan. Are they in Southeast Michigan? Are they somewhere else in the state? Are they up in the Upper Peninsula? What's your favorite city in Michigan outside of Southeast Michigan? Are you going on a vacation soon? It is vacation season right before kids head back to school. Where are you going? What's the place that you love to go this time of year in our great state? What's the best place for outdoors kinds of activities? Some of the things that are really great to do here in Michigan, and what's kind of on your mind right now about where you're headed. As always, the number here on the phones is 313-577-1019. That's 313-577-1019. You can also go to Twitter and hashtag Detroit Today, and we can include you in the conversation that way. Guys, Julie on Twitter says, ask the guys where to go in the city of St. Clair. I'm not sure if she's from St. Clair or if she's headed there, but have you done much in that city?
We haven't featured them yet. I'm a fan of the area, and I know that they just went through a multi-million dollar renovation of the St. Clair Inn.
Yes,
which
is a
spectacular
great place. I love that place.
Yeah, I loved it from the old days when it kind of smelled a little funky. that's definitely on the list. So we have our bucket lists too, and I think that that is a place that I want to get to. I mean, one of our big bucket list places was Isle Royale.
We just got off 3 days on Isle Royale.
Yeah, I have never been there.
Oh my gosh, the boat trip out on the Ranger 3. If you're familiar with Wes Anderson, the film director, and the movie Life Aquatic, being on that boat is like, I kept looking for Wes Anderson. As a matter of fact, my daughter gave me a book that says it's called Accidentally Wes Anderson. And there's a picture of one of the portholes on the Ranger. So I found it and took the picture and sent it back to her. But yeah, one of the most unusual places we ever covered or featured is a restaurant in Michigan that the only way you can get to it is to drive into Ohio and then drive back up a peninsula in Lake Erie that goes back into Michigan territory.
Yeah, the line cuts across these three peninsulas. It's so weird.
So the only way to get to this restaurant is either by boat or you have to drive into Ohio and then drive back into Michigan through Ohio. It's bizarre.
Yeah. I've never heard of that.
And if I could remember the name of it, I would have said
that's because
it was
Weber's.
Weber's
Waterfront Inn.
See, two men, one brain.
Here, let's go to Nancy in Clinton Township. Nancy, welcome to the show.
Hi. Hey. I was wondering if the guys have ever done the electric powered boat that goes along Portage Lake out of Houghton.
Have you been following our Facebook feed?
No.
Oh, we were just on it.
Ah.
Oh, the tour boat?
Yeah, the Dragonfly.
Oh, the Dragonfly.
Yes, that's it. That's an awesome trip.
Okay, yes. So this is not something I'm familiar with.
So there's these electric boats that they run on, you know, battery.
On electricity.
And he's also the helmsman on the Ranger 3, which heads out to Isle Royale. So we just, in filming the show this last week, we went out on the tour of the it's a lake, right? I mean, it's a cut through. What is that thing called?
It's actually a canal that goes through the Keweenaw Peninsula.
Okay.
But, yeah, Captain Dominic, we just did this 4 days ago, took us out on this tour, and he gives you historic information. Seaplanes are landing next to you as you're out there enjoying an adult beverage, or if with your children, you can just be enjoying a Kool-Aid. But
yeah.
But it's a wonderful tour. It's inexpensive, and it's a great
really
thing
great.
To do.
Yeah. So, Nancy, tell me what that place means to you.
Well, we did it last fall, and it was just gorgeous with the colors along the banks on either side. And so it was just one of my favorite things that we did on our trip to the UP and the Porkies last year.
That's just so funny that we just did that 4 days ago. That's too funny.
You thought you were going to stump us.
That's right.
Try again.
They are everywhere.
Stump the band.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to continue talking about really cool places here in the state of Michigan, places that are kind of under the radar, as our two guests would say. We want to continue to hear from you as well on the phones and on Twitter. 313-577-1019. Call and tell us your favorite places, either here in Southeast Michigan or somewhere in the rest of the state. We'll be right back with more Detroit Today. Listening to Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. I'm Stephen Henderson, and as always, thanks for tuning in. My guests right now are the guys from Under the Radar, Michigan, which airs on Detroit Public Television, our local PBS affiliate. Tom Dalton is the host and writer of Under the Radar, and Jim Edelman is the producer.
And intern.
An intern.
Need more coffee, Mr. Alden?
Yes, please, more coffee.
They also have a new book, their third book, called Under the Radar, Michigan, the Third 50. Why stop now? We are talking about all the great places in the book and on the show that they feature. They go to all kinds of places here in Michigan, finding hidden gems, really, things that most of us hadn't heard of or thought of, and they kind of encourage us to get out and explore the Great Lakes State. We want to hear from you on the phones and on Twitter about the places that you love here, either in Southeast Michigan or in the rest of the state. Where are you headed in the next couple of weeks before school? It's a big travel time here in Michigan. Talk about the places that you go back to over and over again, or maybe a place that you might visit for the first time. As always, the number on the phones is 313-577-1019. That's 313-577-1019. You can also go to Twitter and hashtag us, and we'll work you into the conversation. Let's talk about something else that's going on in Detroit right now. The giant slide.
Oh, my gosh.
Try not to laugh because... but
I have been trying not to laugh all weekend while I'm watching these videos of people, mostly young children, being thrown all over the place trying to ride
two humps
the slide.
Of it.
Yeah.
From what I understand, no one was seriously hurt.
No one was hurt.
Okay.
Right?
Now we can laugh.
But it's hard to be horrified and amused at the same time.
But the cool thing about the giant slide, so, I mean, I grew up here in Detroit, and that was, of course, a summer tradition. You always went to ride the slide at least one time. You know, I saw such a cross section of people on social talking about it.
Yeah.
Black people, white people, people who live here, people who have left, people who are fans of Detroit, people who I know are critics of Detroit. They all had that frame of reference. They all had that cultural touch point in their minds, that thing that we all did at some point. And it reminded me of how many places we have like that here in Michigan. Of course, when I was a kid, the another one was Bablo.
Oh my gosh! You know, I mean, rode the Bablo boat so many times.
Right. Yeah. Everybody has been on that boat.
We always try to certain age.
You try to count the layers of paint.
Right.
And they're kind of sweet when you eat them.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Yeah. I don't think you're supposed to do that.
Don't eat lead paint, kids.
but this idea of places like that in some cases we've lost. Mm-hmm. The Giant Slide, of course, is back, and they have reopened it, and they say it's going to be a little safer.
Water
is
saving,
right, slowing down race. Just a little.
They're passing out helmets.
But there's so many places in your work that I think remind me of things like that. I don't know if you've done a thing on the Giant Slide yet. Maybe
not yet.
No. But we have featured Belle Isle, because Belle Isle is one of those iconic places that brings back memories for anybody who's ever had anything. I was born in the city of Detroit. I've been coming down here, and my daughter lives down here. She walks her dog on Belle Isle every day. And Belle Isle is a melting pot. It's everybody loves Belle Isle.
Yeah.
And we have for eons. So, yeah, it's one of those things that, I don't know, when you come back to Detroit, it's like you have to go to Belle Isle.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I agree with you. You know, so many of our memories have left Bablo Boat. But as we travel the state, we hear from other people who are like, you know, have you been to the Cascades in Jackson? You know, there's all these memories that they have of their childhood. Mm-hmm. A Monroe dog in Monroe, oddly enough, in Flint Coneys. You know, they're different than Detroit Coneys.
Yeah.
So it's kind of this thing of, if you grew up on a Yester dog in Grand Rapids,
yep,
a Detroit Coney is not the same to them. And, you know, like us who grew up on Lafayette Lafayette.
Lafayette.
I'm not gonna pick sides, but that's what I grew up on.
It's funny, we had them on the show. We
side by side.
Side by side. We went into one place and said, who's the best? We're the best, we're the first. You go next door, American, we're the best, we're the first. It's like, wait, what?
Yeah. We're not here to pick sides.
And they are different.
They are.
I grew up here, but there's no question that you go to one for, if you're hankering for one thing, you go to the other for something
exactly
different.
Definitely.
And again, we're careful to never say our favorite on the show.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
Get me in trouble. Let's go next to Robert in Ferndale. Robert, what's on your mind?
Hey there, it's Stephen. Hey there, Tom. Big fans of both of you. I was wondering if, Tom, if you had been to Fernwood Botanical Gardens in Niles, Michigan?
Oh, no. Fernwood Botanical Gardens. No, we have not. We have featured several botanical gardens. I'm a big fan of places like that because
you're regular size.
You're right. I'm a regular size fan, but no, have not. But this is how we get most of the things we feature on the show. Is we get emails every day, we get text or Facebook messages every day, and we keep catalog all that stuff. So thanks for putting that on our radar.
Yeah.
So it's a beautiful place.
So Robert, tell me about that place and why it's special for you.
So it's on the shores of the lake. Really, just really nice forest habitat. Understory, like dominated by pawpaw trees. There's these really unique kind of groundwater seeps, sort of like wetlands on the side of a hill. I've never. I think it was a hot spring some time ago, and it's like really beautiful gardens that people like, plus preserve space.
Hmm.
And no one's heard of it. It kind of gives the Meyer Gardens a run for their money, not to throw them under the bus.
No. And we've, you know, I think that's the thing, is that we make sure that we're very inclusionary of all the different gardens.
Yeah.
But I think that's we just did the
Taylor,
one in Taylor. What
the
was
Taylor
that called?
Taylor Botanical Gardens.
Oh, Taylor Botanical.
Go figure.
Where's Fernwood Gardens at?
What city? I think he said it was in Niles.
Niles. Okay.
Yeah, it's in Niles, south of Benton Harbor.
Yeah.
It's, I feel like if you're driving to Chicago, it's the perfect place to really lose an afternoon, because there's some good hiking there.
What's the candy shop in Niles we did? Didn't we do a candy shop there?
Yeah. The 100-year-old place. It started with a V.
And there's a young couple
probably
doing
in the book.
A
I'm going to guess it's in the book.
It's probably. I should probably read the book. But in Niles, there's also a brand new distillery there. A young couple just started. That's wonderful. So it gets tough after 12 years. It's plus we're still looking forward. We've produced almost a full season of shows beyond the book. So onward and upward.
Yeah. I mean, I would imagine it's hard to keep track of every place that you've been and where it is and
we do play that game, like especially when someone comes up that we've had on the show. And they're looking at us, and they're like, "Oh, we had such a great time with you." And we're looking at each other for clues.
Yes, remember me? I was on your show.
I don't quite have.
Then when we get it, we try to throw in clues that you know the other one can pick up on. It's like,
that's right.
I loved you. You were the best interview we ever did. It's like you say to us when we come in.
That's right.
Oh, it's you guys.
Who are you guys again? Thanks, Robert. Let's go to Lauren in Rochester. Lauren, welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you. Have you been to Pentwater?
Yes, we have been to Pentwater.
What did we feature there?
Yeah, we have a cottage right on Lake Michigan. We've been going there for years. Pentwater is just a beautiful little town. The downtown area has great shopping, wonderful clothes and home furnishing stores, art galleries, and wonderful places to eat. And we just got back from there yesterday. We're going to go in another couple of weeks to the cottage. And it's just a lovely place to go with kids or just a couple to have a romantic weekend. And as you probably know, it's just a couple hours away from Traverse City.
Yep.
And about an hour and a half northwest of Grand Rapids and very close to Ludington.
Yep.
So...
Yeah, we went there on the show, and I was it was my first time there. I'd never been to Pentwater before, but we wandered, and that's how we found St. Joe. That's how we found. There's so many towns that we've discovered because of the show, and you're right. It's a beautiful downtown. The marina's right there. We featured a little restaurant that had live entertainment, and you could sit there and look at the boats in the marina. And I'm trying to remember the name of it.
Seagull, right?
Seagull.
This is a place I've never been.
Pentwater, beautiful.
Huh.
Beautiful, beautiful town. And she's right. Great place to take your family, to go on vacation. And I had never been there before.
Yeah, all those beach communities, you know, they just have, you know, this wonderful place in people's memories. They went there as kids. They went there as adults. They took their kids there. And they're taking their grandkids there, too. I mean, I think this is something where we saw it early on, though. Like, if you only went to Petoskey every year because your family went there, it was really hard to break out from that and go other places. And I think we gave people a pass to look at other places without sullying the family's good name of their annual trip to wherever that annual trip was.
Let's go next to Leslie in Hazel Park. Leslie, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you.
Hey.
I was wondering... what the situation is with Fort Wayne in Detroit, if it's going under any kind of renovation or what's the status on it?
Yeah, that's a great question, Leslie. I know that just a few years ago when my kids were little and were in Powell, that was where the soccer fields were for all of the games. You go out there on Saturday or Sunday, there would be hundreds and hundreds of families out there watching their kids play. I don't know if you guys have done.
We
Fort
have.
Wayne.
It's been on our list for a while. That's the problem. We get so many suggestions from people that
how come you can't go everywhere?
I know.
I don't understand.
I know. But it's tough. And like I said, we keep all that information, but it's been on our list for a while. I mean, it took us years to get up to Isle Royale.
Yeah, that was on there from day one.
It took us 12 years to finally get our butts onto that island, but we did it.
And so. We were on the road for 7 days on that. It was the longest stretch of time that we've been on the road together. And there were no fights.
No.
But historic Fort Wayne is definitely something that we're watching. We're watching the renovations that they're doing. We think it's definitely overdue.
It's definitely headed in the right direction.
Yes,
I'm not sure how quickly, right?
Yeah.
It's always a question of money.
And I'm sure their problem is money, like you just said. I mean, that's what, you know, our big fear always was, how do we keep this thing funded? You know, we're self-funded. You know, we keep moving. You know, the station's not just throwing money at us to make the show.
Yeah. All right, guys, I got a minute left.
Oh, no.
Oh, gosh. Your favorite parts of the book.
Oh, the pictures.
The pictures.
The words.
The words.
So I did the pictures. He did the words. That's why we're self-grandiosing ourselves.
One of the funnest things we did is the industrial kayak tour down the Rouge River. I mean, there's nothing like, it's bizarre. You're kayaking by giant industry, by huge 1,000-foot freighters. And then when you come out onto the Detroit River in this little teeny kayak, and there's huge international ships going by. You can see the bridge. The skyline of the city is a spectacular experience.
Yeah. It's always eerie to kind of be down there and just take in the size and the scale of what Henry Ford created.
And, and we all make fun of industry, and it's just like, well, it's dirty and all that. But, you know, if it wasn't for that industry, we wouldn't have... Well,
this would not be the same
None place. Of what we have would be possible, so...
And if it didn't catch fire, we wouldn't have to clean it up. We wouldn't have all the great things that are going on
now. That's right. All right, Tom and Jim, great to have you here, as always. Keep going with Under the Radar. Thanks for coming into the studio. All right, that's going to do it for us today. Come back tomorrow when we're going to dig deeper into the perspective of a pro-life Michigander and talk about how most voters feel about abortion as we come up on the midterm elections. This is 101.9 WDET-FM, Detroit's NPR station, your connection to news, music, and conversation. We'll talk again tomorrow.